Hey, cookbook friends. Welcome to the Cookbook Divas podcast. I'm Katie, and I have Carrie here.
Hello.
And it's Black History Month. So we wanted to showcase some cookbooks by Black authors. Also, we kind of wanted to learn a little bit about Black authors and Black cooking and all that stuff. So we've compiled a few a list of some that look really interesting and are profound, and we would like to share them with you. So, Carrie, what have you found this week?
Well, I noticed back in 2019, everyone was freaking out so excited about Jubilee by Toni Tipton Martin. Recipes from two centuries of African-American cooking. It has gotten so much press, positive, of course, and so many people, it shows up on their blogs and their lists and YouTube videos where they're cooking food out of it. It's told you, like, if you just have to own this, have to own it. Toni is really good about spearheading other Black cooks, lifting them up with her, reminding us that they're out there, giving them chances, giving them publicity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Making sure that she's not the only star of the book, which I love that.
Yeah.
She wrote The Jemima Code, which won a James Beard Award. And she got to curate the collection of more than 300 African-American cookbooks at the James Beard House. And I would love to see if any of her cookbooks that she's curated have ended up at the new, relatively new, Museum of African-American History at the Smithsonian too, which I haven't seen because I was there right like the day before the grand opening. I'll have to go back.
Yeah.
She did extensive research to create this cookbook, searching through everyone else's African-American cookbooks over the last three centuries.
That's amazing.
Yes. And I want to peek and see what are some of the recipes that are inside here. A champagne cocktail. Well, hello. Wilted mixed greens with bacon, sweet potato biscuits with ham. So as a vegetarian, I will be putting tofu in there instead, or just skip the protein. Let's see if I can peek at the table of contents. Yes, appetizers, food for company, beverages, liquefied soul, breads, the staff of life, soups and salads for the welcome table, sides and vegetables that she calls a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Main dishes, comfort in dining, hell yeah, and desserts, the sweet life. That is Jubilee by Toni Tipton Martin. And I'm betting if you're curious and jump on YouTube and type Jubilee cookbook, there's going to be a whole bunch of videos that you can watch to check it out.
Absolutely. Definitely. Well, that's cool. So on my list, we have Edna Lewis's In Pursuit of Flavor, the beloved classic cookbook from the acclaimed author of The Taste of Country Cooking. So I had to put her on my list. She did pass away in 2006, but they've redone and recompiled her, you know, her cookbook here, and it's quite beautiful. But if you don't know anything about Edna Lewis, she's actually the granddaughter of an emancipated slave who's actually started helping the community. And she, you know, to pave the way like this in that time and be able to come up and have this much fame in the culinary world is really just astounding and beautiful to me. So she has a really interesting life, and she did the big turn for her was the Taste of Country Cooking, which kind of that ended up being, I believe, I think that's actually featured in the American Museum of Natural History. I'm trying to find this. Sorry.
Is it the National Women's History Museum?
Yeah. Yes. Ah. Thank you. Yes. So yeah, it's just fascinating book. She's obviously somebody you really, if you want to learn more about African American history and the culinary world, that's somebody you should definitely research. But the book itself is, she's so happy and smiling, and she's just like one of my favorites. I love seeing her smile. She's so fun. But the foreword is actually done for this particular book. It is done by somebody we're going to be talking about a little later, Mashama Bailey. So she part owns the Black, the White, or the Gray. Sorry, the book is called The Black, the White, the Gray, but she owns the Gray, which is in Georgia. But anyway, so Edna Lewis's book has a lot of really interesting recipes in here. Obviously some classics like, you know, sauteed bananas, coconut rice, leek and potato soup. Those sound really good to me. I love those home cooked, those particular dishes.
You just reminded me that I just bought leeks and potatoes to make potato leek soup.
Yum!
And I forgot that the leeks are in my fridge. And if you hadn't said that, they might have rotted before I used them.
Yeah, use it. And
no excuse. Yes.
Now we could use this recipe. But she's got all kinds of cool recipes in here. Classics, different ones, baked sweet potatoes with lemon flavoring, pumpkin with sauteed onions and herbs, just a lot of interesting stuff in here. So definitely give this one a check if you have time. Yeah. What's the next one on your list?
The next book I'm going to mention is Vegetable Kingdom, The Abundant World of Vegan Recipes by Bryant Terry. Now, here's a chef that happens to be Black and isn't necessarily running out there to write about Black foods. He's talking about vegan foods, and there's not a lot of vegan chefs in the vegan space. So we wanted to showcase what he's doing. And Katie is currently experimenting with being a vegan. And I am a lifelong vegetarian, so I like vegan cookbooks and I'll buy them. And then if I feel the need, I'll throw some sour cream on top of the chili to make a vegetarian. Anyway, besides being an African-American vegan and chef, Bryant Terry is also an activist and an author. He has an MA in history and started getting a PhD but dropped out. His emphasis in history was on the African diaspora. And he's looking at healthy recipes for veganism, but he's more interested in taste and texture. I got to point out how important texture is, because I'm a vegetarian that doesn't care if other people eat meat. And I will cook some meat for my boyfriend, but I'm not very good at it because I'm just like, this smells and looks horrible. Why would someone eat this? So it's probably not the most flavorful. So when he's open to eating some fake meats, which we do just for fun. I mean, you don't need to replace meat with fake meat. You can just eat beans and get your protein from eggs, whatever. But I'll serve him some stuff, and the flavor, he's like, this tastes great. But if the texture's off, he's like, nope.
Yeah. Oh, that's my husband too with that, because we've both been doing the vegan thing and he is definitely a meat eating guy. He's so awesome. But yeah, that's the same thing for us too. The texture, and flavor, which is good that he emphasizes it. I don't feel like a lot of vegan cookbooks do that at all. So yeah. I love that.
So he organizes the book by ingredient so you can make it easier to create simple dishes or meals. And he also covers the basics of vegan cooking, how you make flavorful salads, how you cook soups and stews and make tasty grains and legumes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Which I like that he does it by ingredient, because I can picture myself going, okay, what am I going to do with this broccoli this time? And flipping through like, okay, what? Help. He actually sorts it by seeds, bulbs, stems, flowers, fruits, leaves, fungi, tubers, and roots. That's really creative and inventive. I like it. So that was The Vegetable Kingdom, The Abundant World of Vegan Recipes by Bryant Terry. And the hardcover came out in February 2020. And you can, of course, grab it on Kindle.
Cool. So on my list next is this cookbook is called The Rise, Black Cooks and the Soul of American Food. A cookbook. This is by Marcus Samuelson. This came out in October 27, 2020. I know this was a cookbook that a lot of people were raving about.
Oh, I saw it everywhere. Oh, everyone's so delighted by it. Yes.
Yeah, it's so the cookbook itself is super cool. The colors are bright. It's got a really unique design around it. It, like, the recipes are really cool as well. I'm hoping I can find a little tidbit from this that I feel like is really important, or I guess like a good summary of what this cookbook actually is. So the Rise Breakdown. Black is not a taste, or is it? Black food is not monolithic. It's complex, diverse, and delicious, stemming from shared experiences as well as an incredible individual creativity. Black food is American food, and it's long past time that the artistry and ingenuity of Black cooks were properly recognized.
Yes. The
rise is part of that conversation, and this book is my perspective on what's so exciting about the culture we share. So I love that. I think it summarizes the book greatly. It's got a bunch of different African-American chefs have contributed to it, have given their favorite recipes. And, you know, Marcus Samuelson is, you know, he was crowned champion of Top Master Chef and Chopped All Stars. Just he's a big, big name. I would definitely give this cookbook a look through. And that is The Rise, Black Cooks and the Soul of American Food, a cookbook.
And I would love to be looking through it in one of my cookbook look-throughs that I do on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, but it has been on hold at the library forever. I should just give up and buy it. Yeah. And by give up, I just mean I have stacks and stacks of cookbooks in my office right now and no open shelf on, no room on the bookshelf. Well,
I know.
I'm an addict.
It's okay.
The next book that we wanted to talk about during Black History Month about Black chefs is The Black, White, and the Gray, The Story of an Unexpected Friendship and a Beloved Restaurant by Mashama Bailey. It came out just a couple, over a month ago in January 2021. It's a story about the trials and triumphs of a Black chef from Queens, New York, and a white media entrepreneur from Staten Island who built a relationship and a restaurant in the Deep South, hoping to bridge biases and get people talking about race, gender, class, and culture. They turned a dilapidated, formerly segregated Greyhound bus station, of all things, into a restaurant, and that's why it's called The Gray.
It's insane. Like, that's so creative, and just, the whole story is astounding to me. I love this cookbook. It's so cool to me.
I was initially like, what's going on? It better have good food pictures, but that's me being shallow. And we're going to learn a lot from reading it. And the very first chapter, once it goes into the prologue and the introduction, is white male seeking aspirational Black female for business relationship. And then part two, then there were two. Part three is hard work, heartbreak, and hope. And then the epilogue, and it's a serious, like, you're not flipping through looking at pretty pictures in this one.
No.
You're going to learn a lot, and I'm curious to know how you start conversations in a restaurant, because diners are sitting there eating. Are you hoping they ask questions about food? Are you giving them a little spiel before you serve it? I don't know how that works, because starting conversations is so hard, and we're working on my other blog, which is about wine. We want to open conversations about why are there so few Black people out wine tasting when we go out. But how do you open the conversation carefully without offending anyone? And you really want to listen and hear the answers and do something to change it, because everyone should enjoy wine if they enjoy wine.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is a really important thing. And I wish that it was touched on more. If somebody has any advice to that, feel free to comment below and let us know.
Yeah, that's The Black, White, and the Gray, The Story of an Unexpected Friendship and a Beloved Restaurant by Mashama Bailey and John Morisano. Not necessarily cookbook, but we included it anyway. Yeah. And what is the next cookbook that you wanted to chat about now that it's Black History Month?
Yeah, so this guy, Lazarus Lynch, he's a millennial just like me. So his cookbook is Son of the Southern Chef, Cook with Soul. This came out, I believe, in 2000. Yes, it came out in June 11, 2019. And it's hilarious. Like, it's fun. I love it because I'm a millennial, but also, like, this guy is so, like, he's a character. Like, the first picture in here that I'm seeing is him eating, like, just literally a whole plate of bacon with, like, a chocolate milkshake with some crazy hair and, like, this bright pink suit. He's just so much fun. He has a lot of life in him. But more importantly, I am I included him because he's a very well-known up-and-coming chef in general. He's won Chopped twice. And ooh, he was the he has hosted one of the first like cooking shows, Snapchats, as Son of the Southern Chef, which is like, I was thinking, like, how would you Snapchat a whole cooking show?
Yeah, very carefully.
Yeah,
very quickly.
A lot of skill. So he also has, he's also very educated and has a very interesting history. He went to study agricultural sciences and food in Beijing when he was in college. He also studied conflict resolution in Rwanda, which is another. So he not only is he an amazing chef and wants to learn about food and the, you know, the future of food for, especially as a millennial, but you know, he's a political activist as well. So, and he's actually worked for the Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C. under the Obama administration. So it's, he's quite a person, like, it's amazing. So I would definitely check out Son of a Southern Chef, Cook with Soul by Lazarus Lynch.
I have two more cookbooks by Black authors to chat about. And the next one is Living Lively, 80 Plant-Based Recipes to Activate Your Power and Feed Your Potential by Hallie Thomas. I should have looked up how to pronounce that. I should have looked at a video. She was inspired to start cooking differently when her father was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. She was only 8 years old, but that kind of helped her transform her life. And her family was looking into ways to improve her dad's health without necessarily relying on all this medication. So her mom did research, and the daughter learned everything she could about nutrition, and they were dramatically successful in changing her dad's health for the better. So she is a vegan, but not the preachy kind, and she just wants to encourage people to eat vegan more often. And she has networked with Michelle Obama, with food health, you know, message. And she has a strong group of young women influencers that are just so supportive of her. And like, this is the best vegan chef ever. She says that to productively work towards our best selves, we've got to treat our bodies respectfully and give them the right kind of fuel that supports us and incorporate healthy plant-based dishes into our daily routine so that it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change.
Yep.
So I'm peeking through a list of some of the recipes in Living Lively. And I'm not a chia person, so Golden Dream turmeric berry chia pudding. I just said turmeric instead of turmeric. Anyway, I like turmeric tea. I'm like, nah. But then there's a recipe for fruity Jamaican cornmeal porridge. Yum.
Oh my God.
Potachos, which are potato nachos with green chili cheese sauce. Yes, thank you.
What?
Something called straight fire mac and cheese. And then I've still never tried jackfruit. She has a recipe for Korean jackfruit sloppy Jill and shortcut sweet potato pie boats. It sounds really playful and fun. And if that's what it takes to get more people to eat vegan, oh, go for it.
Absolutely. I might actually insta-buy. I might have to do it right now. She sounds awesome.
And she has the 7 points of power, which she believes are wellness, world perspective, media and societal influences, thoughts and spirituality, education, relationships, creativity, and giving. That sounds like more than seven, but I'm not going to count. So that is Living Lively, 80 Plant-Based Recipes to Activate Your Power and Feed Your Potential by Hallie Thomas.
Awesome. So I also have two more on my list. So I have Rodney Scott's World of Barbecue, which I've talked about before, but he's so awesome. I have to talk about him all the time. Sorry. So he's the first Black Pit Master. He has won a James Beard Award. He has been featured on Netflix's Chef's Table, the barbecue version of the Chef's Table, and he's been visited and given accolades by people like Anthony Bourdain and Sean Brock. He's got a plethora of reasons why he's super important. Also, I mean, also just being one of the first Black pit masters, you know, in the South, paving the way and doing that is amazing. The cookbook is so, like, I'm looking through it right now and my mouth is just, it's watery. So he's got things like beautiful, like, nachos with just piles of meat, and I might be trying to go vegan, but this cookbook is the reason why I can't go strictly no meat. So he's got, you know, ways to do steaks, burgers, and it's all of his trade secrets. It's not just, you know, how to grill meat, but he goes through, you know, like fried okra, like going through even frying vegetables, creating sauces, you know, just all these wonderful things that have made him a success. He's sharing that with us too. So, and I think it's great that this particular cookbook is coming out soon, I believe.
Well, I'm not usually interested in barbecue cookbooks because I am vegetarian, but if he has a section on frying vegetables, I am so there.
Yeah, no, he does. And geez, it looks so good. Actually, oh, it came out March 16th, so it's out, and which is perfect. It's right before summertime, so we can all, you know, get ready to start grilling. It's grilling season soon. So that is Rodney Scott's World of Barbecue. Every day is a good day.
You're going to have to read the next one because my dogs are going crazy. Go ahead.
That is fine. All right. So the next one I've actually already gone through before, but I did a lot more research on this one. And now I'm understanding why this cookbook is doing so, like, a lot of people are anticipating it. So the next cookbook is Rice, A Savor of the South Cookbook by Michael W. Twitty. So I had not heard of Michael W. Twitty before, and now I'm, like, super interested because he's a African-American Jewish writer. He's a culinary historian, which I think is cool. Just as a side, I would love to study food history.
Oh, and there's so much. It would take so long.
Yeah.
I'd never be bored.
I know. I would love to do that. It just sounds amazing. Anyway, so this particular cookbook is actually one out of, I believe, over 50. This is the last book for the series of Savor the South cookbooks. So this is the final version of it. It came out March 1st of this year, so it's very new, but it, you know, by itself, I thought, what, you know, like rice, what does that mean? You know, but this cookbook talks about rice as far as, like, how rice has contributed to, like, dishes from the South, you know, Creole, you know, just from everywhere from the South. So he's actually, Michael Twitty has also created a food blog, which is called Afroculinaria.com. I don't know, culinaria, sorry. Yeah. Which I'll link in the show notes because he's got a lot of really cool recipes up there too, if you just want to kind of dip your toes into some of how he cooks and just experiment with Southern cooking. But he's a political activist as well. He's the author of, which I've actually heard of this before, the Cooking Gene. I just never knew who the author of that was. So he actually won a James Beard for that book. So he's quite influential. You're going to want to pick up this cookbook, especially, like, if you just want to learn more about Southern cooking and, you know, and you might as well get the set, honestly. Like, yeah. That'd be interesting. There's like peach and all kinds of cool stuff in there. So that is Rice, A Savor of the South Cookbook by Michael Twitty.
And the last book I want to showcase today is called Black Girl Baking, Wholesome Recipes Inspired by a Soulful Upbringing by Jarell Guy. She's an award-winning author, food stylist, and food photographer, and food writer, and recipe developer. So I'm guessing she did her own photography, quite possibly, on this book. I always love baking books and flipping through them. And I don't think I've grabbed this from my library, and I need to. It came out in February 2018. Seems like a lot of baking books come out in February because everyone's tired of eating healthy in January and they want to get back and get some good Valentine's Day treats.
Yes.
She decided early on as a child that she'd rather spend her time eating cookies and honey buns than focusing on the stressful issues. She said that good food is the most powerful way to connect, understand, and heal. Oh, yeah, that's nice.
I feel that. I think she might be my power animal right now.
Oh, God. She does add unique flavors like you might not find commonly in other baking books, like five spice, jalapeno. Ooh, I like putting jalapenos in my cornbread, personally.
Really?
But not habanero. I have my limits.
Wow. I didn't know that.
And her cookbook is arranged a little interestingly, uniquely, which I like, and I say that in a positive way. The first chapter is called Sight, Shapes, Colors, and Patterns.
Oh.
And the second one is Aroma, Scents, and Cinnamon. And then the third one is Sound, Snap, Crunch, and Music. And the next one is Touch, Textures, and Mouthfeel. And then the final chapter is Taste, Spice, Heat, and Flavor.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. That's a nice take on it.
Yeah.
And one of her recipes is pepper jelly thumbprint cookies, which is brilliant because I have pepper jellies that I use on my charcuterie and cheese boards for wine stuff. And I've made thumbprint cookies, but it never occurred to me to use pepper jelly because it would be a little tangier and a little spicier and more interesting than just dumping raspberry jelly in there.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
And for you, little vegan, I see a recipe called saffron soy milk pie. Are you on the soy milk bandwagon yet?
No.
I didn't think so.
Not.
So that was Black Girl Baking, Wholesome Recipes Inspired by a Soulful Upbringing. And that was our look through of 10 intriguing cookbooks by Black chefs in honor of Black History Month. But Yay. This will not be the first and last time that we are talking about Black chefs or people of color that are cooking. We do try to highlight those when we get a chance. And I just did a cookbook look through of Lorraine Pascal's Bake, which was a really impressive baking book also.
Yes.
So look for it on our YouTube or Instagram channels.
Yes, definitely.
Thanks for listening to this mini-sode, which kind of got out of hand, and it's actually the same size as a regular episode. Hope you enjoyed it. And you can follow more of our cookbook news and tidbits and articles and videos and reels on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and occasionally on Pinterest. We're Cookbook Divas. Thanks so much for listening.